Today we'll start with three scenarios. I'm going to read them to you. These are questions that people asked. We'll take a little time to think about the questions. Scenario number one. A woman writes, I feel like a failure as a parent. I find myself screaming a lot. I regret it right afterwards, but the damage is done. Also, I make commitments like reading Chassidish stories to my children before bed, but it doesn't last long. I'm not consistent. Number one. Two, how to deal with it. Her question is, it's not fun to feel like a failure or to deal with inconsistency. Number two, this woman writes, I sent birthday bags with my son, but his teacher refused to give them out, saying that the yeshiva has a policy against allowing anything with TV images on them. But I know for a fact that in this teacher's class last year, a parent brought something very similar, and he allowed it. Frustrated parents. Number three, at a Shabbos meal recently, there was a yeshiva bachur wearing a hoodie. Right, that's what the sweaters with the hoods. Someone at the table told him off for it, and also told the hostess off for not saying anything. Was this correct or not? So we'll start with the first Mishnah in Perek Gimel to hopefully gain some perspective. What does the Torah say on such and similar questions? I'm going to read and translate the Mishnah and then focus in on one part. A Mishnah Aleph, Akavya ben Mahalal al Oimer, Akavya ben Mahalal, that was his name, he said, Histakel b'shloisha dvarim, reflect on three things, ve'ein ato bali de aveda, and you will not come to sin. Da me'ayin basa, know from where you came. Ula'on atahoylech, and to where you are going. Vilifnei mi atahosid litain din v'cheshbin, and before whom are you destined to give an account? And he continues. Me'ayin basa, from where did you come? Mitipas rucha. Everyone comes from physical parents. Ula'on atahoylech, and to where are you headed? L'makoyim afar. Rima v'seileya. Everyone after 120 will ultimately be buried. V'lefnei mi ata osed litin din v'cheshben, and before who will you give an account? Lifnei melech malchei hamalachim hakadosh baruch hu, before the king of all kings, the Eibishter. The Mefarshim say this mission is meant to teach humility, that we're all, this whole world is temporary, the temporariness of the human being and all physical things. And it's meant to give us a feeling of priority and humility. We're not going to talk about that today. That's not our subject for today, okay? Instead, we're going to isolate a few words of the Mishnah. The Mefarshim say, Akavya ben Mahalalel says to reflect on three things. The three things are, these three items are, Da, me'ayin basa, know from where you're coming, number one. Number two, La'on atahoylech, where are you heading? Presently, hoylik, where are you going? And number three, v'lefnei mi ata osed litin din v'cheshben, and before who do you give an account? Period. The answer to those three questions, Akavya ben Mahalalel offers three answers. Mefarshim say there are many answers to these questions. The questions themselves are three golden questions that we ask ourselves. It's a very productive thing to take an account. Look back. What have I done? My failures, my accomplishments. Look at the present. Where am I heading? And who am I accountable to? These three questions were asked once in the Torah before. Anyone guess? Who in the Torah? Torah Shebichsav asked these three questions. The Chiddush Yerim writes like this. It says, Esav Harasha. Esav Harasha asked these three questions. When Yaakov sent messengers to Esav, he told him like this, Ki yifkashcha Esav achi, when you're going to, Esav, my brother, is going to meet you. Ushaolchan, he's going to ask you three questions. Lemi ata, to who are you? Where are you coming from? Who do you belong to? Ula'an, what's the lashon over there? Va'ana telech, where are you going? Ulumi eila lefanecha, and what do you have to show? Says the Chiddush Yerim, three identical questions being asked either by Esav HaRasha or by Akavya ben Mahalalel. Esav HaRasha is, of course, the Yetzer Hara. The Mishnah is talking about the Yetzer Tov. Good, positive questions. The Yetzer Hara comes as a very similar voice to the Yetzer Tov. If not, it wouldn't be a trick. Someone asked me recently, wouldn't be a challenge, I should say. Someone asked me recently to research the following question. He was illustrating a children's book, and he had to make an image of a child struggling with their Yetzer Hara, Yetzer Tov. So he wanted to know, is it the Jewish way to depict the Yetzer Hara as a demon? With horns, you know, with the works. So I did my research. One of the interesting things I found, one of the Arav told me, very interesting perspective. It's not the whole answer to the whole question. One perspective here is, the Yetzer Hara cannot be seen as only this big bad devil. Because it's not true. The Yetzer Hara sometimes comes as our best friend. It's looking out for our good. Think about how children teach their parents, teach their children about safety. If you could tell your kids very, very simply, when you walk on the street, don't talk to anybody with big muscles and tattoos with chains hanging from his neck. Machaya, life would be good, but that's not the way it works. The reality is you have to tell your kid, the one giving you the candy, that may be the one you have to watch out for. So the Yetzer Hara is brilliant. He's going to come with very similar questions. What the questions are, we're going to get to soon. But already the language is so similar. There's a sefer, Avni Mishpat, it's called in Chayshim Mishpat, and in his introduction, he writes a story that he heard from Tzadik Reb Mendel of Rimanov. There was a Yid in Spain that was being taken to be killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, and nobody knew about it. It was a Yid, one Yid, and a bunch of Goyim. I guess Ruach HaKodesh, Reb Mendel of Rimanov knew. Said, you know what happened? You know what went through that Yid's mind? As he was going to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, literally, he was given an ultimatum, you know, do this and you'll live, or do this and get killed. His decision was to be Meisir Nefesh. On his way, he started rethinking it. And he said, what's going to happen? If people find out later that I was Meisir Nefesh in private, they're going to say, wow, this guy was such a halakha Yid. He did it without getting any attention, without getting any recognition. Then they're Eresh going to call me a tzaddik and a kaddish. So my whole Mesiras Nefesh is going to turn into one big gaiva. You get it? They're going to enshrine me for being such a... That's how brilliant the Yetzer Hara is. The Yetzer Hara doesn't say, don't be Mekadosh, why do you need a Kiddush Hashem? No, no, no. Don't do it because you're going to become a Baal Gaiva. That's how smart the Yetzer Hara is. These three questions are honest questions. Where are you coming from? What are you doing? And who are you going to be accountable to? Our job, our challenge is lahavchin bin yoyim ben loyla. Lahavchin means to be able to, differentiate, thank you. To differentiate between dark and light. Who's asking me this question? Who's asking me this question? Is it the Yetzer Hara? The dark side? Or is it a place of light, coming from a place of light? How do we do this? How do we have the voice inside of us? How do we do it? So when the Rebbe Shav says, when he was younger, he once heard a mimer and two stories from his father, the Rebbe Marash. And his derech was, he would review the mimer the whole week. Came the next Shabbos. The Rebbe Rashab says this. This is what he used to do when the Rebbe Marash said chassidus. So he reviewed the mimer with two stories. The next Shabbos came and his father said another mimer. When it came time, Moitzei Shabbos, he was going to stay up the whole night to review the new mimer. And he couldn't pull himself away from the old mimer and the old stories because he didn't perfect them yet. And he said, you know what was going through my mind then? Whose voice is it that's telling me to keep with the old Maimarim, old Maimer, and not review the new one? Is it coming from a good place or not a good place? And he said, why did I think, why is it bothering me? Because my father, the Rebbe Marash, once told me that the Yetzer Hara is very wise, very shrewd. And sometimes it comes as a Chassidish Nefesh Bahamas, a Frumin Nefesh Bahamas, and a Chassidish Nefesh Bahamas. It says, what do you mean? How could you move on to the next Maimer? You didn't perfect the first one. Don't move on yet. You're not able to progress. You still have to fix what you did. And the Rebbe Rashab, a Rebbe, he's saying, I was struggling with this. And as the Rebbe Marash gave him the solution. How do you know where the voice is coming from? I'm going to remember what the answer, what the Rebbe Marash told him. Not necessarily. By certain people, the first one is the right one. There are people who the Rebbe said that about.
There's a story about the whole thing about giving stuff or whatever.
Oh, very good. I'm going to get to that. So you'll hear.
Someone in the first
out. That's what she said. So the vart is, what will it lead to? What will it lead? Will it lead you to do more or to hold back? That's the story you're saying is with another tzaddik, Reb Nachum of Chernobyl. So Reb Nachum would have, he had a lot of chassidim, they would come, what we call yichidus, it wasn't called yichidus in those days. And he was very poor because he gave everything away to tzedakah. And his shamish had to pay bills. So he's waiting for some money to come in when people come on yichidus. One day somebody comes and puts down 300 rubles. So the shamish saw this and he's getting excited. He went to the other room, he started making a whole cheshbon ready, who's going to pay back the fish store with the wine, and the life was good. After the whole day, he goes into the Rebbe and he says, "Nu, could I have the money to pay the bills?" He says, opens the drawer, takes out a couple of coins. So the shamish says, "What happened to the 300 ruble?" So he says, "I gave it away." And this is what happened. He says, "Chassid came in and gave me 300 ruble." And he left. The one who came in right after him came crying that he's making a wedding and he needs 300 ruble. My first thought was, open Ashkocha Pratis. I got 300 rubles. He's asking me for 300, not 250, not 320, 300. Of course I should give it to him. But then I had another thought. Give 300 to one person? I could divide 300 amongst many families, and I could do so much more. And I wasn't sure what to do, so I asked everyone to leave. And if you remember, there was a break in the Yechidus, because I had to think through what the right thing to do is. And my conclusion was, My conclusion was to give him the money. Because the first, how did I know this? The first voice was a voice that was telling me, give to another yid. The second voice was telling me, don't give. How do you know it's the right thing to give? So that's why I knew the first voice was the right voice. Think and talk very practically. A parent, one of the most common feelings parents have, well, you're not yet parents, I'm not expecting you to know this. Maybe you've seen this or parents have shared it with you. Besides from, of course, joy and love and all these beautiful things, is guilt. Guilt or yiyush, despair. Because parents love their children. They want their children to have everything that they need and everything that they want. And parents a lot of times feel like they're not providing. So a parent says, "Oy, I am boso. Look at my past. Look at my past. I'm a parent for 10, 15, 20 years already. My kids are already grown. What did I do for them? Am I a success or a failure? I seem to be failing so much. Well, on at the haylet, do I have even any hope of being a success? And I have to answer to the Eibishter. Who's asking these questions? It could be one or the other. It could be coming from Yoim, or it could be coming from Laila, it could be coming from the Yetzer Tov, it could be coming from the Yetzer Hara. The Nafkamina is going to be, what does it lead to? If it's coming from the Yetzer Hara, then it's coming from a place of darkness, a place of negativity, and paralysis, and numbness, because it basically says, what? You can't be a parent. Look at the past. Look at what you're doing now. And the Yetzer Hara is very smart. You know what the Yetzer Hara says? Who are you going to answer to? These kids are the Eibishter's kids. You're playing around with the Eibishter's kids? You have a responsibility to these kids? You are garnished. You are a failure. Rabbi Lu says that Rebbe told him once, if he ever is tempted to smack his child, and he's not sure if it's the right thing to do or not the right thing to do, consider this is an Abish's child. Should this child be smacked or not? See, the Yetzer Hara sometimes says, what? You consider yourself a parent? Me'ayim baso, wait, look at your past. Lo na tahelech. And you're going to answer to the Abishter. That's enough to take a parent and sink them and say, I give up. If the Yetzer Tov is the one asking the questions, so by all means, be honest. Be honest. Look at the past. Learn from the past. But also look at the past successes and know that you're able to be successful in the future. And you're answering to the Eibishter. The Eibishter understands people's struggles. The Eibishter is the one who invented tshuva. In short, if it's coming from a place of Laila, negativity, the Yetzer Hara, then it's going to give us feelings of regret. I shouldn't say regret, actually. Guilt. Guilt is a dead feeling. It's a numb feeling. And despair. If it's coming from a good place, a positive place, or then you may have feelings of regret sometimes. But regret is a very positive feeling. Because regret leads to repair, to moving on. Take this woman, for example, part of her question, the first question. I feel like a failure as a parent. For example, I find myself losing, screaming a lot, and the damage is done. One thing, whatever her reasoning is, one thing to think about here is, and therefore what? You're going to sit down and cry on the couch, and after that, what's going to happen? What's going to change? If it's all just going to cause you to feel down and kick yourself for doing it, that's the biggest indication that it's coming from the wrong place. Ask that very same question to yourself, fine, challenge yourself, stop screaming so much, stop losing it at your children, get up and move, and make progress. But there's more, to this. For that we have to move to another aspect to this Mishnah. Yep. Okay, so this goes into the second, same three questions. Miayim boso lo natahelech, lefnei miyata osid. The story happened in approximately 1931-32 in Moscow. They needed to elect a new Rav for the Frum community. Rabbanim in those days, which is communist Russia, worked for the communist government. It was a dangerous job, but a very important job. There were two Rabbanim up for election. One was a Chassidish Rav, and one was a Oilamish Rav, not a Chassidish Rav. Of course, all the Lubavitcher Chassidim in Moscow, we're going to vote for the Chassidish Rav. Such an important position. A few days before the election, the Chassidim got a telegram from the Friedrich Rebbe saying, vote for the Olam Shirov. His name was Rav Clemens. That was his name. Vote for the Olam Shirov. The Chassidim were in turmoil. They didn't know what to do with themselves. They had to turn the whole campaign backwards. And the Rabbi Yochanan Zeide was there. He told anyone, if you don't vote the way the Rebbe is saying, you're going to get this chair over your head. And they had to make a whole campaign to vote for now this Olam Shirov. And they did it, and he won. Now, the Chassidim in Leningrad, Lubavitcher Chassidim, they were very baffled by this whole story. Friedrich Rebbe should want the Olam Shirov to get such a hush of a position, such a prominent position. So they sent a spy. They sent the Yid, Reb Chai Kolchanin. His son is the one who told me the story, Reb Zalman Chanin. They sent Reb Chai Kolchanin. He was an older bacher living in his mother's house. Lived in Leningrad, davened in an Alabavitch shul, so he wouldn't be seen. He wouldn't be exposed as a spy.
Who sent
the
spy?
The Lubavitcher Chassidim in Leningrad, not Moscow. They wanted to see what's going on. So they sent him to Moscow. He came to Moscow and he arranged that he should stay in the Rav's house. So he spent a few days in the Rav's house. One day he's sitting in the Rav's study and an older man comes in. He has a shaila for the Rav. He works for many years in a factory. He had a very decent job for many years. When the communists took over, the factory became possession of the government. It became much harder to be a Frum Yid, but he still managed. Then he was promoted recently to become manager of the whole factory. And now it became nearly impossible to keep Shabbos. He must show up on Shabbos, and part of his work is inevitably Chilul Shabbos. And he tells the Rav, this is Pikuach Nefesh, one way or the other. If I am a... No, he said like this, if I stop working, I'm not going to have food for my family. And besides that, I'm going to be considered a parasite, because I'm not helping, you know, Mother Russia was from the communists. I'm not helping the country, I'm just living off the country, and they're going to send me, you know, to Chad Gadi, you know where they're going to send me. So it's Pashu Bikoch Nefesh, what do I do? So the Rav, this Rabbi Rav Clemens sat with him for a while and went through his whole day. And went through each job he has, each task, what's a way he could do it with the minimal Chilul Shabbos, and as much as that he could do in private, so no other Yidden should have to see and be even a bigger Chilul Shabbos. And they spent time going through his entire day. They went through the whole day and they came out with a plan. This Yid, as he sits in front of the Rav, and he starts crying. It's an older Yid, and he starts bawling in front of the Rav. And Yiddish, he screams out. He says, screaming to the Eibishter, Reboino Shel Olam, what do you want from me? What do you have against me? My whole life, I kept Shabbos. And now in my older age, you're facing me with such a challenge, Chilul Shabbos, what do you want from me? And he's pusha crying like a baby. The Rav, you see this Yid is sitting across from him crying. The Rav started crying. And they sat there for a whole while afterwards, crying over the situation. And the Rav is giving him words of chizuk. And eventually the Yid got up, he has his plan of action, and he left. And the whole way the Rav is giving him support. Gevaldike scene to behold. A few days later, Chaykel Chanan is still in the house. Another Yid comes, a younger Jew, sits down in the office, and he has a question for the Rav. What's his question? He comes all prepared. He says, I work in a factory, manager of a factory. It's not possible to do this work unless I'm a Chal Shabbos. Now, according to my assessment, these malachas are only the Rabbanon. I should be able to do them in such a situation. These, if I do Kalachar Yad, they'll also be fine. This I could do Bitzina, if I do it in private, no one will see. This is also okay. And he gave a whole regimen how he'll go about his day of work on Shabbos, and it will be the best possible. Under the circumstances. The Rav stands up, pounds the table, and he says, Nein! Von mir bist du kein Heter auf Chilul Shabbos nicht bekommen. And he said, Kadietzki Korpus! For me, you're not going to get a heter. And he sent the guy flying. Mamash, how do you say, with his tail between his... He sent him flying. Fine, the guy leaves. And the Rav sits down, and Mamash had to calm down. And he finally came to himself. So Chaykel Chanan, as probably all of us, was very confused. So he says, with all due respect, could I ask the Rav, you had two very similar questions in the last few days, with extremely different reactions. So the Rav says, I don't know what you don't understand. The Yid who came a few days ago was an older Jew. His whole life he's trying as hard as possible to keep Shabbos and to do all the mitzvahs. Did you see how pained he was when he had to be Mechal Shabbos? He wants to do the best he possibly can. This other Yid, do you know who he is? He's a chassid. He's a Lubavitcher chassid. He learned in Tamchei Tmimim. He's Skadetsky Korpus. Now you go, what's Skadetsky Korpus? So he tells him, it was an elite force in the personal bodyguards of the Tsar. What they would do is they would take kids from when they were very, very young, and they had them in their own schooling system, and their own training system. They were educated on a much higher level than anyone. They were trained on a much higher level. And when they were old enough, they became personal bodyguards to the Tsar. He didn't know who he was talking to, but he tells Chaykel Chanan, he learned in Tamchei Tmimim. That means that the Lubavitcher Aveim went into the Oitzer HaNeshamas and they chose his soul to be in their army to protect the king. Such a guy is looking for a heter for Chilul Shabbos? He should jump into the fire before Chilul Shabbos. It's a value that Yidden always had, especially Chassidim. Not everything is for everybody. Meaning, even in Torah mitzvah, there's one Torah, one mitzvah, but we're all different. Mi'ayin bossa, part of mi'ayin bossa means, where am I coming from? Well, on ata hoylech, where will this lead? Based coming from, where will this lead? And ultimately, the cheshbon is the Eibishter's. For this older Yid, The heter for Chilul Shabbos was a way in to Yiddishkeit. It was a way of staying involved, engaged. He saw it as an isoyin. This only made him stronger. For this other Yid, what was the heter? What does heter mean? A way out. For him, it was a way out. For this older Yid, think about the me'ayin baso lo'onat ha'helech. He's coming from here, he's only going up. His trajectory is up. Me'ayin baso lo'onat ha'helech, this is going to cause a stronger Yid. And that the Eibishter knows this cheshbon, and the Eibishter is perfectly fine with it. His chilul Shabbos is a kiyum of Shabbos. That's how he's preserving Shabbos. This other Yid is up here. He's Skadetsky Korpus. He is a hand-picked soldier in the Tamchitim army. If he's up here and he's looking for a way out, he's on his way down. That's how the Eibishter sees it. Let's go back. Where did I write down those questions? Let's go back to those very three questions. That first one, the woman is saying she feels like a failure. Let's get a little background here. Do you know who this woman is? She grew up in a very troubled home. That's fact. The very fact that she got married to a Baruch Hashem, a healthy, stable, good person, bringing up a frum, a chassidish home, that itself is a miracle. She sees herself as a failure. No. Because why? Because she loses it sometimes as her kids. She never heard bedtime stories. Every tale she tells her kid is a success story. But she doesn't do it every night. Who's talking? Who's the one asking her, look at your past, look at your present, look at your future? If it's causing her to slump on the couch and give up, that's coming from the Yetzer Hara. Because of the second aspect of the mission. I mean, Ayin Basso, where are you coming from? You can't compare yourself to other people. I know last week we talked about it. This is a hashlama to last week's topic. You can't look at someone else and say we're the same. You're very different. You're coming from a very, very different place. Same thing with inconsistency is also... Inconsistency is something to work on, but it's not a reason to give up. And especially if what you're trying to be consistent with is for you a very, very difficult task. The second woman says that she sent birthday bags with TV images. Last year, the teacher accepted them. All true. But let's look at who these people were. Last year, there was a little 6-year-old kid. These are Baal Teshuva parents. The grandmother refused to see this kid from when he was born because his parents became frum. This is the first birthday the grandmother, is willing to come and celebrate with them to the extent that she offered to bring the treats. So they weren't going to turn her down. The mother's offering, fine, to make sure they're kosher. She said, yeah, what's kosher? Gave her all the symbols. The grandmother comes from wherever it was. She shows up in this frumi yeshiva with bags, with pictures that are from TV. Yes. The teacher is a very wise man. So the teacher makes an announcement in the class and says, Kindelach, do you know where his bubby is coming from? She's coming from a place where it's so hard to find kosher food. And he basically gives them the message that these are not the bags we're used to seeing. You know that and I know that. But there's a reason. Because for her, these are kosher l'mahadrin. These are beautiful images for somebody like this. The woman who came in this year to bring these bags, she's Skadetsky Korpus. She learned in Fruma schools, Chassidish schools. Her mother did. Her grandmother did. Bringing such bags to school is Me'ayin Basser, from where she's coming from, is Lo'onat Ha'ilech, is not the right direction. How about the other case? What was the third one? No, what was the third scenario that I read in the beginning of class? With the hoodie. So there were two bachrim sitting by the table. One of them was from a regular frum Gezer Lubavitcher family. He was dressed like a mensch. And the other bachr had a white shirt on. On top of it was the hoodie. And he was the one who got over the head. This bachr is a self-made Baal Teshuva. His family also disowned him. Me'ayin Basa, where's he coming from? He's coming from just 2 years before this, Saturday was a day to go to the mall, was a day for movies. Well, on at the Hilik, where's he going? He's sitting by a table now, chazering a sicha. He's wearing a hoodie. You're going to tell me that hoodie is not Shabbistic? Now, if the boy next to him would do the same thing, oh, we have to have the understanding to realize this. Not everything is black and white. If the boy next to him would do it, where are you coming from? You know better. Skadetsky Corpus, you grew up in Tamchit Mimin. And if you may I in bus, if you look at where you're coming from, well, on at the Halech, this is a step also down. For him, this is a step up. To his credit, he took it. He took the rebuke very, very well. He said, I understand. He never heard the word before. By Shabbos table, it's not appropriate to wear such a sweater. Imagine, he took it via mensch. Very impressive. There's one more. This is probably the most humbling question I ever got in my life. The parent says like this. He has 8 children under the age of 12. Both he and his wife grew up in non-religious homes. They're sitting down by the Shabbos table during the day, and he's exhausted. Every Shabbos he's exhausted. He works very hard. His wife wanted the kids who are shaykh to bench should come around the table and bench with him. So she says, you know, we'll call him Shmetel. Could you get the kids around the table on the bench? He says, you know, I'm so exhausted. The older kids are sitting here with us. Let's bench. She tells him, didn't we learn that you have to have mesidas nefesh for chinuch? Maybe this is your mesidas nefesh. Give up a little bit on nap time. Go around and gather the kids. So his question is that right or not? An honest question. Who's right? Is she right? Or is she asking too much of him? The same Yayin Basa. It depends who you are. You're right. I mean, based on what this mission is teaching us, you have to have mesidas nefesh for chinuch. What does Chassidus say about Mesidus Nefesh? Where the Chassidus has the all the gems on Mesidus Nefesh? Love the Eibishter. Your Mesidus Ratzin is Mesidus Nefesh. Come, it's in Shema. You have to Seshem Elokecha. What's it say? B'chol Levavcha. It's all your heart. B'chol Nafshecha. It's your whole being. B'chol Me'oidecha. Oidecha means it's all your money, but the deeper pshat is with your whole entire self. Mesidas nefesh, like you're saying, mesidas haratzin. But chassidus always emphasizes the last letter of the word, which is cha, ma'oidecha, your. Not everybody's ma'oid is the same. For me, learning this amount of time is normal. After that is mesidas nefesh. For you, 5 minutes is mesidas nefesh. Your mesidas nefesh is a walk in the park for me. My mesidas nefesh is suicide for you, possibly. For someone like this, the very fact that he has 8 kids under the age of 12, paying full tuition, bringing them up like Yiddish, Chassidish, Kindlach in the city that he's living, and with the lack of support that he's getting from his family, that's one big mesidas nefesh. Not necessarily is it demanded of him to go around the house and schlep the kids to bench. And the ultimate thing is, the Eibishter understands all this. Just to end off with the Kloisenberg Rebbe. He survived the Holocaust and is one of the greatest leaders, built up Yiddishkeit, if you will, after the Holocaust, especially in Eretz Yisrael. He said, the Eibishter himself fulfills this mission also. The Eibishter says, look at a Yid. Look, me'ayin basa. Where's the Yid coming from? You know what it... how much suffering we had in the past and how many challenges. Well, on atahilich, look how a yid goes through every single day. And who are we being judged by? By you. So have rachmanas on the yid and give yidin all good things.